Well, I wonder if we could turn this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. And we're going to read from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and beginning our reading at the 13th verse of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would not have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we unite at the throne of grace in prayer? Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, as we come to thee, we thank thee for the joy or the thanksgiving that Paul had as he thought about the Thessalonian Christians, how they encouraged him as he sought to serve thee. And we thank thee, Lord, for those that have the desires and the real hunger for thee, as the Thessalonians had in their day. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst deepen our hunger for thee and for thy word. We'd ask thee it might be something that we long for, and something that we really deeply joy in, as we serve thee day by day. Bless thy word to our hearts, and draw us nigh to thee, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen and amen. Now we come to this portion of Scripture in chapter 2, and I want you to see that once again Paul breaks into thanksgiving again. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. And we have noticed this theme of thanksgiving that runs through the epistle to the Thessalonians. You know the story by now. We've rehearsed it so often. But you know how that Paul had gone into Thessalonica to preach the gospel. A number of people had been saved. A church had been formed. And the Jews began with jealousy to stir up the people, and had got some hoodlums from the local community to go in and to break up the preaching of the word of God and to haul out Jason. Paul wasn't there, so Jason was the man in whose house the church was being held. So they brought him out and brought him to the magistrates and tried to accuse him of stirring up strife in the midst of the community. And there was this persecution, and as a result, Paul and Silas and Timothy had to leave Thessalonica. And Paul went back. He had sent Timothy back to find out what was going on. His care for the people, his love for the people, even though he had only been there a short time, was such that he wanted to know that they were getting on well and that they were standing in the faith that they had been taught. And we find this sense of thankfulness as Timothy had come back and had given him a good report of the Thessalonians. And we have already thought about some of the things that he was thankful for as he thought about these Thessalonian Christians. And really now, we thought last time about how he speaks in the early part of the chapter about himself. He was vindicating himself. There were those that were saying that because Paul had gone from Thessalonica, that he was really abandoning the people. And there were accusations that he was in it for himself, or that he was just trying to deceive the people in some way. And there were these accusations that Paul was he was answering. And so in the first part of the chapter, really we have something about the leadership of the church. We have something about those that are serving God in the church and the way that we ought to do that. But when we come to the latter part of this chapter, we are really talking about what we would call maybe the ordinary members of the church, for want of a better term. And there's not really ordinary members of the church because we're all in Christ Jesus. But nevertheless, you know what I mean when I say that. And he comes now to give thanks to God for what they are. And you'll notice what he thanks God for at this time. You see, if you look there in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So there are many things that Paul has been thankful for the Christians here. But now he particularly picks out this aspect, this thought about their reaction to the word of God, how they processed, how they reacted to what the word of God had to say. That's the thing that stands out for Paul now about these Thessalonians. And I've no need to tell you that it is vital and it's absolutely central in any work of God or in any church that God's people and each one of us react to the word of God, and that we take in the word of God in the right way, and that it becomes part of us, and it is something that makes a difference in our hearts and in our lives. So for a few minutes today at the end of our meeting, I just thought that we would look at the Thessalonians' reaction to the word of God here, and to see what they did and what Paul is so thankful about as they listened to the word of God. And we need to compare ourselves to this. We need to be those who react to the word of God in the right way. We need to be those who are doing that, because we live in a day when the word of God has been undermined, and in which we are being taught, and the philosophy of this world is that there is no truth, that everybody's truth is different, and what might be true for you is not true for me. All of that nonsense is being taught in this day. So in the midst of all that, and we are infected by it, and to one degree or other, you can see the way that even Christians are reacting to things in this day, and you can see the way that we might not be infected by it in the same way as the world is infected. We're not taking all of what the world says on board, but nevertheless, the propaganda is such that we do take it on board. So maybe we need to reset ourselves, and we just need to press the reset button and get ourselves back into a proper relationship to the Word of God. So let's just see the Thessalonians here in relation to the Word of God. And the first thing that I point out is very simple, and that is their hearing of the Word of God. You'll notice what Paul says. He speaks about their willingness to hear the Word of God. He says, he says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth of the word of God. So he speaks there about receiving the word of God. And if you notice very carefully in that verse, he speaks about receiving it in two different ways. He says that ye received it, ye received the word of God, and then he says you received it not as the word of men. Now, I want you to see then that these people here, we'll come back to that in a minute, these people here listened to the word of God. They heard it, very simply. There, as we say, there are two words for receive in the verse. One means to hear the word of God, just to hear it as we hear it. And the other one is to hear with understanding, receive it in, to receive it into yourself. We'll come to that in a wee minute. But here they are, and they received the word of God. They heard it. And what was it that they heard? Well, it was the very word of God himself. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we all need to read the word of God, and we all need to take time to sit down and read what the word of God has to say, but we also need to hear it. We need to hear the preaching of the word. It's not that they read the word of God here, but they heard, they received it by hearing. Now, we need to always bear that in mind. There are, of course, circumstances where maybe Christians are on their own, or where maybe they're under persecution, but less so in this day and generation. There's always an opportunity with technology today, in some degree and measure, even if it's over the internet, to hear the word of God. And we find that these people here were listening to what the word of God had to say. And we think about how that when Paul preached in the synagogue in Acts chapter 13, we read of Paul and Barnabas preaching in Antioch of Pisidia. And when Paul preached in the word there, we read of them in Acts 13 and verse 34, or 44, says, on the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. They all came together. And it says almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. And we need to do the same. We have, in many ways, a turning away from God's word today. People, it seems, do not want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear it in the streets. They are objecting to hearing the word of God in the streets. They don't want to hear it because they're not coming along to where the word of God is preached. They're not coming to hear the word of God. Even God's people are neglecting some of the services where the word of God is preached, and there is not that hungering and thirsting after the word of God. And why? Well, in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 30, it describes the last days. And it describes the days of Noah, and it says that they ate and they drank, and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built and so on. And it speaks about how they were caught up in these things. And I wonder if you've ever noticed that none of those things are sinful in themselves. We all got to eat. We all got to buy and sell and plant and build and all these things. But the point of it is that they had become so busy that they were caught up in eating and drinking and planting and sowing. And sometimes we become so busy and caught up with business and maybe legitimate interest and things that need to be done, but we are so caught up with these things that we don't have time for God and for his word. And when you look at the world in which we live, you see God's people not taking time for God's house, not taking time for where the word of God is preached, not taking time for these things. And it's not a bit wonder that the world is in the awful mess that it is, and it'll only get worse and worse unless there is that desire for the things of God. Our forefathers hadn't many of the gadgets that we have today. And all of the gadgets are supposed to save time. They didn't have the washing machines, or they didn't have the machinery on the farm, or the machinery we have today. It's supposed to be time-saving devices. And yet, with all of that, they had time for the Word of God. They had time for the preaching of the Word of God. And so ought we. These people then had a high regard for the preaching of the Word. It says, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The whole Bible is the word of God. We think of its divine origin. It's breathed from above. And we think of how it's inspired of God. And that's why we need to hear it, because it's not the opinions of men. It's not just any ordinary philosophy that man comes up with, but this is the God who has made all things, the God who knows the end from the beginning. And we think of how Peter said that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Have you a high regard for the Word of God? Have you a high regard for hearing what the Word of God has to say in the midst of all the voices and all of the messages that we have? We can spend a lot of time on social media. We can spend a lot of time in newspapers. We can spend a lot of time in front of the TV. But these are not the messages of God from on high. But this, the preaching of the Word, the reading of God's Word, this is God's message. So we need to hear it. We need to hear it. But not only did the Thessalonians hear the word of God, but they heeded it. Now we said that there's two words in the verse 13 that are translated in the English received or receive. And they are two different words in the Greek. One speaks of just hearing with the ears. But the other one, if we could put it like this, is hearing with the heart. And it is taking in, it's heeding what the Word of God has to say. And Paul says of this people, for this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word which ye heard of us, you received it, you heeded it. Not as the Word of men, but as it is the truth, the Word of God. Again, we have an echo of what James said, be ye not hearers of the word, only deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So this is not just a matter of hearing it with the ears, but there's got to be some effect. There's got to be some change. Now, it may be a small change. It may be an imperceptible change. It may be a change that doesn't take place immediately. It may take place gradually or over a period of time. But the Word of God has to make a change, because it is the Word of God. And we think of how the Word of God brings grace. Without the Word of God, we would never have heard the way of life. We would never have heard the way of salvation. But we think of what it says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And of course, we need the preaching of the Word of God. It has to be taken in receiving the salvation of God that he has made a way for on the cross of Calvary. And dear friend, if you're not saved today listening in, then we invite you, we implore you to come and heed the word of God that tells you that you must come to him and rest in him and find forgiveness in him and repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Oh, hear it today. Heed it. what the Word of God has to say. And we need to heed it because it brings grace. Without the Word of God, there would have been no salvation, no message, no wonderful message of redemption and salvation. But not only does the Word of God bring grace, but it encourages growth. When you are saved, the Word of God has a sanctifying influence. You remember the prayer of the Lord Jesus, the great high priestly prayer in John 17, where he said part of it, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." In other words, set them apart. Set them apart from the evil world. Make them holy. Turn them into that holiness. You think of the psalmist who said in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee." And when we hear the word of God, it has a sanctifying influence. And that's why we must constantly bring ourselves under the influence and the hearing of the Word of God, because it's a means of grace. It is a means of setting us to right. God can speak through His Word. God can highlight some sin or weakness that we have. He can bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and He can show us the way to grow, how to draw nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere word of God that ye may grow thereby. So in order to grow, and when God's people begin to get lax in the attendance at the preaching of the Word of God, it'll hinder your growth. It will hinder your growth. You've got to, by all means, get yourself under the Word of God. And we have the means today. If you can't get in, we have the internet or other means by which we can get the Word of God to you. But, dear friend, in order for you to grow, and it's a very bad sign when God's people become slack in their attendance at the preaching of the Word of God. It encourages growth. And then the Word of God gives guidance, it gives direction. It gives us wisdom, it directs our paths, shows us what to do or what not to do. You think of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. It says, "Of him that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And the Bible tells us what is good and what is bad, the way to go and what is right, and the way that we shouldn't go and what is wrong. And the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths." If we go in our own ways, we will stray. We'll get into error. We'll get into difficulty. But we need the Word of God to direct us. And so we need to heed what God's Word has to say. It gives guidance. But something else, it gives a guarantee. It guarantees the promises. We have wonderful promises that we can claim. We think of how in 2 Peter 1:14 it speaks of the exceeding great and precious promises. And we have to say that one of the great and exceeding great and precious promises, all of them, they have never failed and never will fail. And we can claim the promises that relate to the situation that we are in. Forgiveness of sins. You have 1 John 1:9 or chapter 2, verse 1. You have persevering grace that keeps us to the end of the journey. In 2 Timothy 1:12 or Jude 24. We have the promises of a sure future and heaven and a wonderful home after death in John 14, verses 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10. What power there is in the Word of God. But notice that it's only worked out in those who believe and who receive the Word. So I wonder tonight, do you heed the word of God? There's hearing of the word of God and heeding of the word of God. But then I want you to see the hindrances to the word of God. Because he goes on now and he begins to speak about hindrances to the word of God. And there are human hindrances to the word of God. If you look at verse 14, it says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And he speaks there about the hindrances that the church in Jerusalem suffered and the hindrances now that the Thessalonian church was suffering. And he speaks about the men of the world, as it were. The people around them had no interest or desire for the word of God. They hated the word of God and they wanted to hinder the things of God. And he speaks about the persecutors here, about the Jews. He speaks about them in verse 15. "These people who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and they are contrary unto all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." So here were these people, and they were what were they doing? Forbidding them to speak. They didn't want them to speak. What do we find in this world today? We find those who don't want the gospel, who don't want the preachers to speak, don't want God's people to speak. Oh, you can hold your belief in your own home and be quiet about it, but don't bring it into the open air. Don't bring it into the public sphere. Don't bring it into your politics. Don't bring it into your philosophy. Don't bring it into your teaching. Don't bring it into your school. Don't bring it into your college. Don't bring it into the open. Just hold it. Don't just be quiet about it. That's the message that we are getting in this day and generation. And of course, the persecution has always been so. We're not suffering it in any degree or measure the way that many people are suffering it in many lands today. We should not even think that we're being persecuted the way that others are suffering in many lands across the world. But dear friend, unless we heed and we take God's word seriously, that persecution is coming. Because if we don't hold on and glory and be glad about God's word, then God can very soon take it from us. There are human hindrances to the word of God. But then you'll notice that there are hellish hindrances to the word of God. Look at verses 17 and 18. He says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And he has no doubt in putting down the hindrance to the devil himself, to Satan. We forget about the devil. We take the devil for granted. And we ought to remember always that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers. We have an infernal foe. And that infernal foe labors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And he will do whatever it takes to kill, to destroy, to steal. Whatever he can, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers. And that's why we, as God's people, cannot do this fight in our own strength. We need the Lord. You know, sometimes we recognize the satanic hindrances, but very often we forget about the evil, implacable, insidious, corrupt, immoral, crafty, wily, powerful foe that we fight against. And the best the believers can do in the situation is put on the whole armor of God. We need to be clad in that armor today. The arrows are getting through. The arrows, the mind arrows, the arrows, the poisonous arrows of the world's propaganda, they're getting through. We need to arm ourselves in the armor of God, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We need to be clad in the armor. But one more thing, as we look at the reaction of the Thessalonians to the Word of God, we have seen they're hearing and they're heeding the Word of God. We've seen something of the hindrances to the Word of God that they suffered and faced. But one more thing, look at their hope in the Word of God. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Paul is actually speaking about the people here. You know, there are many crowns that the child of God has, a crown of righteousness. We have the crown of soul winning and so on. We have many crowns that God has graciously given to those that serve him. But Paul is not talking about those crowns. He's saying to the people, "Ye are our crown. You're our crown. You are the glory that we have." And he says, at the end of the day, you are what I rejoice in. And he sets it in the context of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's always conscious here that at one time or in a day to come, he will give an account of himself. And he will stand before God, and he knows that these people are his crown, his joy, his rejoicing. But look at what he says about them. He says, "Ye are our joy." He was joyful in the midst of all the persecution, even in spite of the persecution that the Thessalonians were suffering, even though he had to flee. And even though in many ways he had been beaten and all the rest of it, he says, "You're our joy. We're rejoicing." We think of what it says, the book of Nehemiah, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And when we have our actions governed by God and our eye upon the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, then our hearts and our souls should be filled with joy. The Greek word for joy, chara, is a word that comes from a root that means to be cheerful and glad. The world defines joy by emotion evoked by well-being or success, but the Christian defines joy as a gift of God. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, and we can be joyful above the circumstances. And like the prophet who said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." And my, the world would be anything but joyful in those circumstances. The world could not be joyful in those circumstances. But the prophet said in the midst of that, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Have we a joy like that? The Word of God brings that joy. Paul writing to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and 4 said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Our dear friend, are we rejoicing today? Are we filled with the joy of the Lord? Are we walking with him? Is his word central in our lives and the way we conduct ourselves and the things that we do? How is the word of God being played out in your life? Do we hear it? Do we heed it? And does it make us joyful in our hearts? Oh, that God's word may be written upon our souls in this day, and may we follow him with all our hearts. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word to our souls afresh. We thank thee that we can say that the Lord brings joy to those who follow him. We'd ask thee, Lord, that the joy of the Lord may be our strength today. Come very near and bless thy word to each one of our souls. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing now. Take us to our homes in safety and watch over us throughout this day. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.